Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verses 1 to 3 this morning. That last psalm just encouraged us to look to God with confidence. And that's what we're going to be hearing from the Holy Spirit this morning as we read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. This is the word of the Lord written to you, His people. God demonstrating His faithfulness to us and giving us His word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do come, Lord, to hear from you now, from your word and from the preaching of it. Things which you, Lord, have ordained for us to be involved with and to hear from you. And Lord, we ask that even in the topic of this sermon, which is faith, that you would give us faith, that you would give us even more faith and greater faith to believe and trust in you, as we've been encouraged to hear from the psalm we just sang. To believe, Lord, that you in fact are our Creator and our rock of defense. Lord, we ask that you would work these things in our life, that we would not come in here or leave here today the same as when we come in. But faith would have been added to faith today because of you working in our lives through your word and spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we go to Hebrews chapter 11, which is famously known as the Bible's chapter of faith, which is not the only chapter on faith, but it is known as the chapter of faith, we must remind ourselves why the Spirit is going here. Why is He going to take so much time and so many recordings of other people and examples of faith? Why is He doing this for the first audience who heard and read this letter? And why is He doing it for us? The Spirit of God has just called these folks to live by faith, telling them that those who have been justified will live by faith. It is the cause and effect of God's work. That those whom God has justified, those whom God has made, have made righteous according to His Son Jesus Christ, the fruit of that will be a faith and will be a living faith. It will be a faith that you are to live by. A faith that will endure struggles and hardship and will be patient for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. This is the kind of biblical faith that endures all things. And it is the faith that God gives. It is the faith that God gives to His people whom He has justified so that they will live by faith. From here, the Spirit then moves to going on into more details of what faith is. And we're going to see in future weeks, Lord willing, examples of what faith looks like. Not from superheroes or cartoon characters or things made up of the things that people write books about, but from real everyday people, ordinary people, actual people who were sinners, who by God's grace have been given biblical faith to believe in Him and to trust in Him. And what we're going to see as we get farther on into the chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is that these people were examples of those who did endure, who waited and believed to the saving of their souls. It is how they lived out their faith. And so the purpose of Hebrews 11 is to support what He's just told them in Hebrews 10. And that biblical faith can and will enable them to endure, to wait, and to believe to the saving of their souls. And so the question before us this morning is, Do you have biblical faith? Because there are all kinds of faith. But what we're concerned about is this biblical faith, this faith that God gives to us as a means of His grace. And so in verses 1 to 3, we're going to see the Spirit teaching us these things concerning biblical faith. And first, we're going to see in verse 1 the definition of faith. It's clear that's what he's doing there, defining what faith is. Secondly, we'll see the record of faith. In other words, the testimony of faith and whose testimony that is. And then in verse 3, we'll see the enlightening power of faith. The power of faith to enlighten us, to enable us to understand. So let's first look then at the definition of faith. And here the Spirit of God in verse 1 gives us a two-part definition or description of faith. And the first one is that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And this is a way of saying that faith is believing something with confidence. The word substance here means just that. It means confidence. And it is used in situations that speak of foundations or support. It is used to speak of something that holds something up. And you know, every day that you get on the road to drive your car, or children, when you're on the road with your parents in their car, and you go over a bridge, do you realize that you're exercising faith? You realize you're exercising confidence. And your confidence is in those pillars that are under that bridge, that are coming up through the river or the water, whatever it might be, or over a big valley, that you're exercising confidence that those pillars will support you. Not only you, but also the other 50 cars and semi-trucks that are going across that bridge all at the same time. Confidence in the foundations of God's Word. Confident that what God has said will support you. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, is what we read here in verse 1. Confidence of the things hoped for. And what are the things hoped for but the things that God has promised? And that's what you should be hoping for. And that's where your hopes should be founded upon. The things that God has promised to you. And the things that we believe are the things that God has promised and has done, and the things that God has promised and are yet to do. Having confidence and assurance in those things. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25, helps us with this definition of faith and this idea of confidence in the things hoped for. Romans 8, verses 18 to 25 tells us this: "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." See, these are the things that we are waiting for, the things that are promised to us. Verse 24, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." So we wait by faith, assured, with confidence that what God has promised in His Word is going to come true. And that what God has promised to us already, that we have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven by Him through Jesus Christ. Faith, the kind of faith that God gives, says, I am confident that these things are true. And this is what enabled those Christians in the time of the writing of Hebrews to suffer and to suffer with others who are suffering. You might recall in chapter 10 that they gave up their rewards because they had a faith of an enduring possession that was yet to come. They could give up their earthly possessions because they knew a greater possession was coming. An eternal life in relationship with God through Jesus Christ without sin. It was not something they had yet seen. It was still a way off, and they were encouraged to wait because He who is coming will come and will not tarry. It is something they have hoped for and were continuing to hope for. And not a hope of, boy, I hope this happens, but a certain hope. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 8. It was still a way off, but He who is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ, is what they were waiting for with a persevering hope. And so faith, and one description is the assurance that what is promised by God is our hope and that it will happen. Now, this faith is not something that you have if you have it because you're an optimistic person. It's not something that you have because you saw somebody do something good and it restored your faith in humanity or maybe even in God. Biblical faith that we're talking about here, the kind that is assured of the hopes that God has promised it, is a gift from God Himself. It is the gift of God, as Ephesians 2:8 tells us. He gives us the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in confidence that if we are trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins truly will be forgiven and are forgiven, and that we will be received by God now and in the future for eternity. Those are things that we look forward to and hope for. One of the things also that we look forward to is the return of Jesus Christ. It is our great hope that Jesus Christ returns. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians that if Jesus Christ has not been resurrected from the dead, then we are the worst of all men and most to be pitied. Because we're believing something that is false and we're believing something that has no future to it. But because we do believe in the resurrection and because there is a resurrection of Jesus Christ and us, we have a hope to believe in. We have a hope that when Jesus Christ returns, He will gather up all His people, all their bodies from the graves and all their bodies from the earth and take them to be with Him. That's what biblical faith is hoping for, that Jesus will come at just the right time, not to pay for sin again, but to gather up His people and to take them to be with Him where there will be no sin. Faith is looking for that with hope and with confidence. And this is the kind of faith that is to the believing of the saving of your soul. The second description of faith here in verse 1 is in the latter part of the sentence, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. When we use the word evidence, when we use it in our day, we often use it in the sense of saying something, prove it to me. Give me the evidence that I can see with my own eyes. That is not faith. But it's still speaking of evidence here. Biblical faith says, I am convinced, I am convicted of these truths based on evidence I do not see. Now the world says we're foolish for believing that. And as we read Genesis chapter 1, case in point, we do not see God. We do not see that God created the world. And yet Christian people who believe the revelation of God, both in His Word and in creation, we believe that this is how the world was created. We're convicted by the revelation of God that the things He has said are true, even though we weren't there to see them. And this is one of the reasons why the world calls us foolish, because we believe in something we do not see. But that is a description of true faith. And this kind of faith is that which is concerned with the saving of our souls, because it is not that God just wants us to believe that He has created all things and that He is, but that this God with this power is also powerful enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and raise Him from the dead and also raise you from the dead to eternal life. Our shorter catechism, question number 30, asks this: how does the Spirit apply to us the redemption purchased by Christ? And the answer is, the Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. The biblical faith we're talking about here in verse 1 is a work of God's Spirit giving us the faith that is characterized by believing with assurance all things that He's promised and things yet to come, and the conviction of things not seen. Conviction of things not seen that happened in the past, and conviction of things that we haven't seen to come to pass in the future. Commentator John Brown states it like this: faith is confidence respecting things hoped for, and a conviction respecting things not seen. Confidence regarding those things that we're hoping for. Assurance that what God has promised, He will give. And a conviction, just as if we had been there at creation and other things that God has revealed to us He has done, just as if we'd been there and seen it, even though we haven't. Faith believes it, just as if you had been there. So do you have this kind of faith? Because this is biblical faith. This is what God gives to His people as a gift of His grace, so that they can live by faith, have a living faith to live by, and have confidence in the things of God. Well, secondly then, in verse 2, we have the record of faith, or the testimony of faith. Verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony," or a good report. Now, whose testimony is it here that's being talked about? It is God's testimony of your faith. It is God's testimony of the faith that He has given to you. God goes on record and gives a good report of those who have by faith persevered to the saving of their soul. Hebrews 11 is a record of and a testimony of those who had by faith believed God, hoped for His promise, and were convicted of things they had not yet seen. When he says the elders, he's talking about those ancients, our forefathers of the faith. This statement here in verse 2 is a proof of the first description of faith. This record of God of the ones who by faith trusted in Him are the ones who were believing with confidence in the things hoped for. One of the things that the book of Hebrews talks about, and we'll get into this later, verse 39 tells us of this report, "And all these, after he had gone through many examples, obtained a good testimony through faith, and yet did not receive the promise." Not yet. But yet they still live by faith, because they were assured of the things hoped for. Verse 40 explains about that, why they did not receive all things. It states there that there were more names to be added in chapter 11, verse 40. "And God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." They did not receive everything that they believed, because in God's timing, He was adding more people to this testimony, and that means you. that God's testimony and record of those whom He would give the gift of faith was not yet completed. And so they were not going to see all the things that they hoped for. And yet the characterization that we're going to see of these people in Hebrews 11 is that they still believed with confidence, even though they died in faith, all the way to the end of their life. They believed what God had promised. And so this is biblical faith. Because they endured by faith in the things hoped for, God was pleased to testify of them and their faith. And we need only look at two quick examples. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel, and we're going to do more in this verse 4 next week, Lord willing. But by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Who's the witness? He was God Himself. And now Abel speaks to us about this sacrifice that he made. He still speaks to us, though he's dead and has been dead. But it's God's witness that this man Abel, because he brought that sacrifice by faith, was righteous. We also see in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This was God's testimony that Enoch was pleasing to him because he lived by faith. And so the testimony that's being spoken of here, the record is God's record. And verse 32 of Hebrews 11 tells us there would be not enough time to tell of all of those who had by faith had this confidence in things promised and a conviction for things not seen. Paul, in Philippians 4, verse 3, speaks of those women who labored with him in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of his fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. There is a record of their faithfulness. There is a record of those who have been given the gift of God and who are living by faith. Jesus, speaking to the church at Sardis in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5, speaks of those whose names will not be taken out of the book of life, this record, but he will confess their names before God and before his angels. He will testify of them. The Lord Jesus Christ will testify of those who have this faith that he was speaking of. People who by faith overcame trials and persecutions. And so the testimony, the good report, is of those who have gone before us in the Old and New Testament times, but it will also include a testimony from God of the faith that he has given to you. And the testimony will be something like what we see here in Hebrews 11. Look! Look at this person's life. They lived by faith. That's what's happening in Hebrews 11. We are being exhorted and encouraged to look at these people's lives who have been given the gift of God, the gift of faith. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will testify of you as well. Not of a perfect person, but of a person who lived by faith. Living by faith includes sin. Not that sin is faithfulness, but repenting from sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood and His sacrifice to pay for our sin is an act of faith. And it is an act of faith to keep believing that all through the days of your life, that you will trust in Him. You will not give up believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the kind of faith that God gives to His people. And it's that kind of faith that God will testify and confess. That Jesus will confess to the Father, these are my people. And they live by faith. Faith in the Son of God. God will testify to your faith as well. if you have gospel faith, believing with confidence of the things hoped for and being convinced of things that you cannot see. You cannot see, and you did not see, the life of Jesus Christ. You cannot see, and you did not see, the death of Jesus Christ. You did not see, and you cannot see, yet, the resurrected Jesus Christ. And yet you believe by faith in those things. Why do you believe? Because God has given you that gift of faith to believe. And He will testify of your faith. God will testify of your faith that it is a biblical faith. It is a faith that He has given to you. Well, in verse 3, then, we now see a proof of the second statement that was made, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 gives a proof for the first part of verse 1. Verse 3 gives a proof for the second part of verse 1, and that is the enlightening power of faith, or God's gift of faith to enlighten us. Faith given from God gives us the ability to believe what we cannot see. And as I've mentioned and we read in Genesis, the creation of the world is something we cannot see. It's already been done and no one was there until Adam and Eve were created. No human beings were there. So no one saw it. And yet it is here in God's Word and revealed to us. And it is also in His creation all around us, revealed to us. But nobody was there when it happened. And yet this is one of the things that distinguishes God's people from others. That we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We don't believe that they came by some form of evolution. We believe in something we do not see. And we call that biblical faith. We understand that He created all things out of nothing by the word of His power. You can't reason that with your own mind with just reason. You can't reason that somebody can take nothing and out of that nothing create something. We can't reason that in our minds because it doesn't work that way for us and what we do. And yet that's what distinguishes God from us. That He is able to do what we cannot do. And if by faith we can understand how God can bring all this world and all of life, if we can understand that by faith that God gives us, then we too by faith can understand His work of salvation, that He has the power to give life to those things which are dead. It's very similar to God creating all things out of nothing by the word of His power. That He can take something that is dead and give it life. Something where there is nothing and create life in it. And that's what He has done with us. We understand by faith in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness is on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This verse here in verse 3 tells us that God took that mass which He created and framed it. He organized it. He made it beautiful. And said, it is good. When He said, let there be light, He began to take the formless and void mass of the earth and organize it, putting light and life on it. And why do you believe this to be true? Why do others not believe it to be true, but you do? If you do, it is because God has given you this kind of faith. A faith that believes in things that are not seen. A faith that believes in things that even your mind can't even reason how this could be so. Until the revelation of God works in your life through faith. And then you believe. So the question is, do you have this kind of faith? That the triune God created all things out of nothing. And that the word of His power was not just, let there be light, or let there be this. For we know that God created all things by the word His Son Jesus Christ, and without Him, nothing was made. The faith that God gives enlightens your mind to understand. And that's what verse 3 is talking about. By faith, we understand the light has been turned on. We have been enlightened. We have been made able to comprehend who God is and what He has done because of the faith that He has given to us. The question for us to wrestle with this morning is, do we have that faith? Do we believe things we don't see? And do we believe in things yet hoped for? Because if you do, that's biblical faith when it's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and all God's promises in Him. But if you don't, and you say, well, this just doesn't make sense to me, and I cannot just reason in my mind how this could possibly be, then I exhort you to cry out to God for the gift of faith, that you may believe these things. That you may be able to believe in the God who created the world out of nothing. And the God who can give life out of death. That's what faith does. To the believing and saving of your souls. Peter reminds us of these things. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 9 through 9, I want to read to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Talking about God keeping them for a salvation ready to be revealed to them. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You see, he's lining up with what the Spirit of God is saying in the book of Hebrews. You're going to go through trials. You're struggling. You're going through trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom, having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see Him, yet believing, that's faith. Yet believing, though you haven't seen Him, you rejoice by faith with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is the biblical faith that God gives. That you can endure struggles. You can endure hardship. You can endure even doubts and fears. And the biblical faith that God gives is the kind of faith that endures to the end and patiently waits for God in His timetable to bring all His promises to culmination in the Lord Jesus Christ. To the day of His return, as Peter said. So biblical faith is looking for and holding on to the conviction that what has been promised will happen, even if you cannot see what has happened. Do you have that kind of faith? What will be God's testimony of you? If time did permit, and if God so chose to do so, and continue to write His Word and put it in written form for us and keep instructing us even to this day, if He did do that, And he wanted to add to the list of names in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Would your name be there? That this person lived by faith. And here's the evidence of it. Because there will be evidence. And you can notice even in Hebrews chapter 11 that some of this evidence is stronger than the other evidence. But it's still evidence that the people live by faith. And so if you have biblical faith, that faith that has confidence in the things God has promised, and you are hoping for these things with confidence, and you have biblical faith that believes in things unseen in the past and yet unseen, as Peter stated, if you have that kind of faith, God will give a record of you. He will testify of you, and Jesus will testify of you before His Father and say, "This one lived by faith in me." So may God help us to do that. For the just shall live by faith. It is a faith that God gives to us. For those who have it, we can rejoice that your faith will be rewarded, that the things that you hope for will come to pass. And the evidence that you believe now, things that you haven't seen, will all come to pass and be proven to be true. May God give us that kind of faith. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we do ask, as the disciples did, where our faith is weak, that you would increase our faith. That, Lord, you would strengthen our faith when we go through trials and struggles, even doubts. Lord, we are in need of you. We are in need of you to continue to be with us and to strengthen our faith daily. Lord, we are warned in Scripture to take heed lest we stand or lest we fall. Lord, we do not want to fall out of faith. We do not want to fall in our faith. And so we ask for your help to strengthen us and to teach us from your word and to help us, Lord, to continue with great assurance to believe in things hoped for and to believe and be convicted of things that we do not see as if we had already seen them. Give us, Lord, this kind of faith. Help us, Lord, to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, which you have called us to believe by faith, that you will save us in him.